Testivity Audiobook, Series 6, Module 13, Suitability and Types of Risk.
Registered representatives have a fiduciary duty to their clients. Fiduciary duty requires one to act in a fair and equitable manner, put the client's needs ahead of his or her own, and always do what is in the best interest of the client. This is especially true of discretionary accounts. A discretionary account allows a registered representative to buy and sell securities without prior approval of the account holder. Discretionary authority must be in writing before a registered representative can exercise discretion over client funds. If a client instructs a registered representative to purchase a specific amount of a specific security, the client has placed an order and discretionary power is not required. The registered representative may choose time and price to execute the transaction. Certain information about a client must be known before an appropriate or suitable recommendation can be made. Common suitability factors include tax status, personal financial information, age, marital status, dependents, income, expenses, disposable income, assets and liabilities, liquid assets, insurance needs, and participation in retirement plans. In addition to the aforementioned, a client's investment objective and risk tolerance must be ascertained. Typically, clients strive to achieve one or more of the following six investment objectives. 1. Preservation of capital. 2. Current income. 3. Capital appreciation. 4. Growth and income. 5. Aggressive growth. 6. Tax advantage. Preservation of capital investors may invest in U.S. Treasuries, U.S. government agencies, AAA-rated corporate bonds, certificates of deposit, and money market funds. Investors seeking current income may invest in bond funds, high-grade corporate bonds, preferred stock, high dividend yielding common stock, or utility stock. Investors seeking capital appreciation may invest in common stock, discount bonds, or growth funds. Growth in income investors may look to blue chip common stock, convertible corporate bonds, convertible preferred stock, or growth industry large cap stocks. Investors looking for aggressive growth may choose small cap common stock, emerging markets, new technologies, stock options, and margin investing. Investors interested in tax advantage may choose municipal bonds, annuities, and tax advantaged accounts. The amount of risk an investor is willing to take on is called risk tolerance. An investor's risk tolerance may vary by account due to the short or long-term liquidity needs of the funds in the account. For example, a young investor who won't retire for many years may have a high risk tolerance in his or her IRA and simultaneously have a low risk tolerance in an account earmarked to fund his or her 12-year-old child's education. Also, as an investor nears retirement, as a change in income or inflation becomes apparent in the economy, his or her attitude towards risk may change. An investor with a high risk tolerance is willing to take aggressive risks with his or her money by investing in volatile products, companies, or regions, and is most likely anticipating substantial appreciation of funds. A risk-averse investor will forego the possibility of higher returns in exchange for safety of principal. This concept is known as risk-reward trade-off. The more risk assumed, the higher the potential return. Beta is commonly considered a measure of risk. What beta actually measures is volatility. The beta of the Standard & Poor's 500 Index is 1. A security or portfolio with a beta greater than 1 is more volatile, and therefore riskier, than the Standard & Poor's 500. Conversely, a security or portfolio with a beta of less than 1 is less volatile and less risky than the S&P 500. Standard deviation is also considered a measure of risk. What standard deviation actually measures is the probability that the return of an investment will fall within certain ranges, or more specifically, the probability of any deviation from the norm. Types of risk. Systematic or market risk is a risk inherent with investing and cannot be avoided through diversification. Non-systematic risk is specific to a particular security or industry and can be reduced through diversification. Business risk is the risk that the business itself will fail. Credit or financial risk is the uncertainty that a company will be able to meet its obligations to creditors. Purchasing power or inflation risk is the uncertainty of the extent to which inflation will reduce the value or purchasing power of a dollar over time. Liquidity and marketability risk illustrates the theory that an asset only has value if there is a buyer. Marketability refers to how readily a security can be bought or sold. Liquidity defines an investor's ability to convert an asset into cash. Raw land, collectibles, and ownership interest in a partnership are examples of assets that have value as well as a high degree of both liquidity and marketability risk. Call risk is the risk that a callable bond or preferred stock may be called, leaving the investor unable to find a new investment with a comparable return. Interest rate risk is assumed by an investor who purchases a bond. If interest rates increase, the price of the bond will decrease and the investor will be left with a capital loss. Because bonds mature at par, a bond held till maturity has no interest rate risk. Legislative risk is the uncertainty of changes to tax and investment law that may adversely affect an investment. Reinvestment risk is associated with owning a high-yielding investment. If an investor purchases a bond with a nominal yield of 9% and interest rates in the economy decline, the investor will be unable to reinvest the interest payment at 9%, diminishing the power of compounding returns. Social and political risk is inherent with investing in any region that may fall out of favor with investors. Currency exchange risk may adversely affect a foreign investment if the U.S. dollar strengthens against that foreign currency. Currency exchange rates may also enhance the return of a foreign investment if the U.S. dollar weakens against that foreign currency.